sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
Welcome back, everybody. We continue until 6 o'clock. Last hour here on the Big Talker 1700. On the way, Aaron Torres and also Seth Gruen, Major League Baseball and Big Ten Unfiltered. You know, Trent, I really want to talk to Aaron. This is going to be fun.
Yep,
this is going to be a good time.
We're chasing him down. We'll get Aaron here in a moment or two, hopefully to have him hooked up as he's traveling, I believe, making his way to San Antonio. So he was en route today. Going to try him back here in just a moment. So I'll let you talk about whatever. In fact, you know what this would be a perfect opportunity for right now, Jimmy B?
Yes. What is that, my man?
If I gave you 1 minute all to yourself for, well, we know what you want to talk about, right? Are you ready to go? It's time once again for Des Moines' favorite sports radio segment. Time now for Jimmy B's crappy NBA minute.
New prison was unsealed in Chicago, Chicago Stadium. Ricky Mahorn hustling underneath, can't get it to fall. Jordan to the hoop, king in the air, score!
All right, if you're looking for something of interest tonight, you may want to turn on NBA TV because Cleveland is playing in Charlotte. Okay, so the game is not a marquee game, but the Charlotte Hornets are owned by Michael Jordan. LeBron James is like 12-1 against Jordan-owned teams. That is correct, 12-1. No Kevin Love tonight. He got a concussion in the game last night, so he won't play for the Fighting LeBrons. But it should be entertaining this evening, especially with Mike in the crowd and the looks that he'll give LeBron every time he scores a basket. That's tonight, and you can watch it on NBA TV.
Jimmy B, it's your lucky day. Aaron, continuing to go right to voicemail. Might have had a delay. He was supposed to be landed in San Antonio about a half hour ago, but you never know how those travel plans are going to go. And, that means more time to talk crappy NBA. Just what you want, right?
There are a couple of decent stories out there. I'm sure that you saw Isaiah Thomas is going to have a procedure on his hip. So he's going to be out. They're saying it's a minor procedure, cleanup within the socket. Look, anytime, Trent, you undergo a knife, you're always concerned what's going to happen after that. The Lakers will cut him. They'll let him walk after this season. That was just a salary dump for the Cleveland Cavaliers when they made that deal. And it'll clear a lot of cap space now for the Lakers, who will try to chase LeBron James and Paul George. It'll be interesting to see this offseason how all of that plays out. And here's another thing. No Steph Curry. Out at least 3 weeks. Probably is not going to play in the first round of the playoffs. Look, I don't think they're going to need him in the first round, but still, it's a concern when your best player is not getting some reps in and you're going to be in playoff basketball mode. So I just kind of find those, you know, stories like that when injuries start to stack up. Boston Celtics, no Kyrie Irving. You know, when stars are hurt like that, things seem to change. You get that.
Yeah, I get that, and I'm ready to move on. All right, we are a local show. Let's get back into something that pertains to the local market, Jimmy B. You can have your fun with your crappy NBA a little bit later tonight. And, when things slow down, then we will get into it. So earlier today, we talked with Rob Howe. You can catch any portion of the program that you miss on our podcast page over at 1700kbgg.com, or you can also just find it, search Jimmy B and TC, and sync it up to your favorite podcast listening device. But we're talking with Rob Howe a little bit, some early observations from their 30 minutes that they were allowed into practice today. And Jim, no, we don't get the Hawkeyes coming to Des Moines here for a spring practice, which I know is disappointing, certainly to the fans that have grown accustomed to it, but maybe more importantly to the media members, that one of their few opportunities to see this team each and every year. And we saw, Jim, we saw, you know, the guys that live in Iowa City and Tom Caker and the Quad Cities, the Cedar Rapids guys, they'd make the trek over here because the opportunities to see this football team actually in action, they're so limited. and it's taken away one of the few times already with the open practice not happening. So they open it up today, and you get 25 minutes of watching them stretch. How much fun is that?
Yeah. Look, it's terrible that that's the way that they run things, but they've been running it like that, Trent, even before I started in the market. You were covering them, and they haven't changed since Ferentz took over. So that's just his thing.
Well, and it's the same thing. You find an NFL team that you have a whole lot of capability.
Oh, no, everybody.
College football, more and more, this is the way that it is. It's just, it makes it more difficult for people on the beat. I get that. But it also can stop some of the headaches. Oh, this guy went out with an injury, and then it's reported, and then you go down that can of worms. So this guy looked really good, and then expectations, a freshman, Spencer Petras, who was going through spring practice. He throws a 70-yard touchdown pass in a practice. It gets put in the newspaper in a little column, and all of a sudden people are expecting Petras to step in and take over for Nate Stanley. You know how it is. So I understand if I was a head coach, I'd be the same way. I wouldn't, especially for football, I just wouldn't want to have that kind of distraction.
I probably would be of a similar mind, but at least when you're running like some 7-on-7 drills or your offense is just going through some passing drills, I might let the media in to see some of that so that they could, they're throwing the ball all over the, so you get some at least positive feedback instead of guys coming on the show, just like what you said with Rob, and saying, well, I got to watch him stretch. So
he did see a little bit more than that.
Give me something.
Well, and they did have drills. And one of the things that was taken away reading the comments for the guys that were over there today is a lot of mentioning when they're going through, they had a 3-on-3 drill that they were doing between the defensive line, linebacker, and then 3 offensive linemen. And they said, to a T, everyone that I saw over there, I mean, pads were popping. I talked to Scott Docterman earlier today. He said he was very impressed by the physical nature of what they were doing. It was guys, they were out there competing, just the fourth practice that they've had in the spring. But it was physical, and that's what you expect with Iowa football. Physicality up front. That defensive line, I think in the middle, there's still some question marks outside of Cedric Lattimore. What's going to happen at defensive tackle, but they are stacked at defensive end. I mean, you have now A.J. Epenesa going into a sophomore season, a 5-star, the first 5-star in over a decade at Iowa, who looked very good as a freshman, yet he's still not a starter, Jimmy P. That shows you the kind of depth that they have. Anthony Nelson, I think he could break out and have a monster season, talking 10, 12 sacks this year. He has that kind of ability. You have 2 offensive tackles back that look very good, though young, in Jackson and Werps, but I'm still, I wonder about that middle of that offensive line. What we're going to see in the middle there and what's going to happen, because you lose James Daniels. Though I didn't think he was good as he was as a sophomore, still a guy that's going to be picked in, if not the first round, the second round of the NFL
second
draft.
Second round, yeah.
He makes all the calls up front, an incredibly intelligent football player, along with all the physical gifts that he has. And now you're missing that. And you're missing a 4-year starter in Sean Welsh, who started at all kinds of positions. You've switched him around, but was an excellent guard. You're losing guys like that. That's a big concern to me, Jimmy B, and how they replace that. And we know Kirk Ferentz. They love to play around with that line, toy around with it. But this is an important time, figuring out what guys fit best at what spots.
I'm with you. And it'll be interesting. And let's see. So when we were talking to Rob, he said the first time that we'll really get a look will be when they hold the scrimmage in Iowa City. Is that correct?
Yeah. The spring game that really isn't a game, right?
Yes, yeah. It's more just a scrimmage practice sort of thing, yes. Look, who knows what we're going to, really be able to glean from that. It's one of those things where secrecy is the policy. And from that standpoint, that's the way that that they like to operate. Nothing's going to change, Trent. Look, you and I can go and come on here. And I just said, I would ask, even if they just let them in for 30 minutes while you're running a passing drill. Doesn't have to be contact. Just run a couple of drills so we get our eyes on a few players, guys that you mentioned, just to see how they look. But you don't even get that opportunity. So,
no, they did.
Once again,
that's what they got today.
Well, they did a little, yes, but it's not like they got They got some pads popping, right?
Right. Yeah. You got to see big boy drills. You got to see drills.
That was it.
But okay. Jimmy B, I mean, you're a prima donna. You're like those wide receivers. That's what you want to see, right?
That's right. Yes, I want to see some of that. Yes. Yes. Come on. Show me what you got, pal.
Well,
let's see what we got here.
A couple of the other things that kind of jumped out to me, the observations from Iowa City. First, Spencer Petras, the California kid that comes in as a true freshman, enrolled early. He's still going to be behind Nate Stanley this year. Jimmy B, this isn't a competition as much as maybe some people want it to be. Stanley was very good as a first-year starter a year ago.
He was.
But he was running fourth through the drills, the quarterback drills that they saw. Well, you know what that leads to, Jimmy B. People on message boards, people on Twitter freaking out. Oh, boy, Spencer Petras is already fourth on the depth chart. He's going to transfer. I already saw the tweet earlier today.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
This is the kid's fourth practice of his collegiate career. He should be getting ready to go to prom right now, not even be on a college campus. Slow down. There is a lot of time here. But I would guess, and another thing that I did hear, is, boy, he has a live arm. I mean, this kid, you saw the tape, Jimmy
that.
B.
Yeah, I did.
He is the real deal, at least in terms of arm strength and arm ability. He has that in the package, a big kid. Size-wise, really the same size as Stanley, already 6'4", 6'5", some thickness to him. He looks the part at the very least. But, I mean, in a perfect situation, Jim, I believe what you would like to happen this year is obviously Nate Stanley is your starter all season long. Peyton Mansell is a redshirt freshman. He sits behind him, and you have an opportunity then to redshirt Spencer Petras. Now, will it be a fact, though, that he's too good, much like Stanley was and ended up being the backup a couple years ago? Could we see something like that happen with Petras? Sure, that could still happen in a lot of time before we get to that point in that conversation in August. But right now, I think that's best case scenario. Stanley's your guy. Mansell's the backup for this year. And then you go into the next season with a real open competition for the backup between Mansell and Petras. I would guess that's what they're hoping for over in Iowa City.
Could you see them redshirting a guy?
Yeah. I mean,
could they redshirt Petras?
That's the hope, that Mansell's the backup for this year, and Petras is redshirting this year. I don't know. I continue to hear so many good things about Spencer Petras, and you hate to overhype guys before they've even practiced for the fifth time ever, but you hear so many good things about him. Again, just some observations that are out there. Speaking of the offensive side of the ball, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with Torin Young and Ivory Kelly Martin, kind of that two-headed attack, Young, the banger, much like they had with Akram Wadley and LaShawn Daniel, those two guys, a little thunder and lightning combination, if you will. You have the same thing with Ivory Kelly Martin and with Torin Young. But after that, Jimmy B, it is, we need help. Yeah, they need to find some guys as you go through that depth chart. I mean, Cam Harrell's their fourth running back right now. He's a guy that was over on the defensive side of the ball a year ago. Your fourth running back, true freshman, somebody's going to have an opportunity to get some carries this year too.
Yeah, you're right. And look, this is it's going to be interesting, Trent, because there are some unknowns here, like what you just spoke about with the running backs, and unknowns as far as the linebacking core is concerned. So there's going to be some storylines that come out this year about the Iowa Hawkeyes, and it's going to be fun to see how this sort of plays out in front of, you know, once they get into playing some real competition.
Over on the Iowa State side of things, as they're going through practice as well, they had their pro day yesterday. We talked a bit yesterday, Jimmy B, about Joel Lanning and about Lanning and Lazard and those two guys and what's going to happen with them. But a little bit deeper, what are your thoughts on Cotton Moya? Do you think that he is going to get a shot? Look, when he was healthy, he was as good of a safety as you're going to find. And he had injuries.
He was good.
You know, he had that suspension, too, at the end of the season last year. You kind of wonder about that. But I wonder, I just like that guy, his game so much. But the physical toll, the way that he played because of the physical nature, just how worn down that body is. And he'll get a shot, I'm sure, somewhere. He'll go into a camp, but if his playing days might be over sooner than he wants just because of the physical toll that he went through during his 4 years.
You know, I hope that's not the case because the kid does have terrific ability. Mm-hmm. What you just talked about earlier in his career and how well he played. You hate to see the body go that quickly. And I would love to see him get time on the field, but it's one of those things where you got to listen to your body. And if the mind is willing and the body is not, you got to listen to the body. You can't let the mind try to overpower it, because that's when you're really going to get hurt. And I hope, for Iowa State fans, I hope the guy can play and play at a high level. But we're just going to have to wait and see, you know, how he deals with all of this.
Going to be interesting. It really is. And what's going to happen there? Well, Jim,
you know,
go ahead.
Yeah, just one second. You mentioned, you know, how everybody in Iowa City was talking about the freshman sensation. Mm-hmm. The same thing's going on in Ames with Rial Mitchell.
Yes.
And they've already said, we got to find a spot on the field for this kid.
Isn't that funny how that happens? And, you know, I was a Rial Mitchell fan. I liked his tape and things like that. But you wonder, a guy physically limited, at least in terms of height, how it's going to translate. For every story of a Drew Brees or a Russell Wilson, there's dozens of stories for the guys that never were able to make it work. A short stature guy coming in, having to move positions. But at the very least, you have a dynamic athlete, a guy that can run around. You do some different things. And this roster, it does look a little bit different, regardless of who it is at the quarterback spot. You know, if it is Zepp Nolan overtaking there, if they find a spot for him, or if it's Kyle Kemp full-time, neither of those guys are exactly burners. You can find something different to do. They've been effective with a physical runner. Now this is more of that quickness, a scat back, a back there doing some different things with the offense. And another thing I love about Coach Campbell and his staff is their willingness to do things like that. It's not just about, this is what we do, we're going to do it. They find a way to put their guys in the best position. We're coming back on the other side. We're talking baseball and Final Four with Seth Gruen.
Hey, it's Bill Reiter. Nice to be talking to the home crowd again in Central Iowa, where I was raised, where I got married. The show is right on you, 5 to 9 p.m. weekdays on Des Moines Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
Well, it's that time of year again, tax time. Not all tax firms are the same. Hi, this is Mike Hammond, owner of Advantage Financial and Tax Services, located in West Des Moines. Not only am I a tax pro, but a certified financial planner as well. We can discuss tax savings ideas and financial services when we meet. We are not a chain and offer local and personalized service. Give us a try. Visit AdvantageIowa.com or call 440-1133. Advantage Financial and Tax Services.
Texas. And welcome back. It's Jimmy B and TC. We take you up until 6 o'clock. Our season predictions coming up before the end of the hour. Right now, maybe a guy that can help us out a little bit with those predictions, Seth Gruen. You see his work at Bleacher Report on MLB, also hosting the Big Ten podcast Unfiltered, and he joins us right now. Seth, what's going on?
Not too much, guys. One of my favorite weekends of sports upcoming for sure, with baseball kicking off and the Final Four. It should be a good one.
It should be. And we're going to get into some hoops with you, talk about Michigan from the Big Ten and your city school, Loyola. We'll get into that. But let's start with a little bit of baseball. Obviously, they're in Chicago. The Cubs dominate the headlines pretty much all the time, and going to be the case again this season. What can go wrong for the Cubs? So, you know, you keep coming back. You look, hey, do the Brewers have, can they take another step? Do you have a possibility of the Cardinals, even with their injuries going forward? It's hard to come up with a realistic scenario where at the very least the Cubs don't win the division, right?
Yeah, well, I think the Brewers are pretty close in their rearview mirror. I think that that organization certainly is trending up. I think, like with any baseball club, if they sustain a couple serious injuries to their starting staff, that could hurt them. Someone like Yu Darvish gets hurt, or even a Jose Quintana or a John Lester, that could seriously derail them, and that's just because you have your five guys and then you go. That's sort of the one position in baseball where you don't have a lot of depth. And I don't mean necessarily rotational depth, but you don't have backups. You don't have a backup to your fourth or fifth starter. You have to go either into the bullpen or into the AAA ranks to find somebody when one gets hurt. So to me, that's sort of what I circle as the one thing that could go wrong internally. Obviously, if some guys struggle again at the plate, might get it tough to string some wins together. But Trent, overall, I'd agree with your assessment that it's going to be hard to unseat the Cubs in the Central again.
So Ian Happ has continued his ascension and what he's doing with the bat. Center field, second base, he has some flexibility there. You look at how they're going to get at bats for everybody. Is that going to be a delicate situation for Joe Maddon? Or since they've gone through this before, everybody realizes, look, I'm not going to play 162 games for this team. I might only play 140, but everybody understands that they know it going in, and it probably won't turn out to be a problem.
Yeah, look, I think everybody understands it going in. I think this is what you call a high class problem. When you're struggling to find a guy like Ian Happ or Ben Zobrist at bats, but when push comes to shove, this organization is going to rely on what the saber metrics tell you, both offensively and defensively. And the Carmine machine or whatever they call it is going to spit out some numbers that indicate one player is better than another, or one player or one lineup is better than another on a given day. But I'll say this, you can use Ian Happ sort of like a Mark DeRosa type, where he can give you some time in the infield. He can play the outfield position. So really, that allows you to rotate guys and rest them every 8 day or so. So I think there's still a way to get guys regular at bats so they don't feel like they're necessarily getting skipped over a couple of days. But certainly that's a challenge for Joe Maddon this season.
Let's stay in the National League. Let's take a look at the East. No surprise, the Nationals a big favorite out of there. Who do you like next? Is there a team at the very least? Mets, Phillies getting a little bit of late run here. Is there a team you like at the very least? Maybe not to win the division, but to be in a fight for a wild card spot?
Well, I think you like the Mets pending the health of their starting staff. You know, that I don't know that there's a pitching staff, at least that I can remember in my lifetime, that's been more decimated with injuries. At least one is promising when you look at the promise associated with the Mets and the injuries and the disappointments. So I think it's probably the Mets, assuming that their pitching staff can remain healthy. But again, you know, it's not going to be all that interesting a division. You're talking about the Nationals running away with it. And, you know, when you look at important games on their schedule, it's going to be they're going to be against the Cubs and the Dodgers as those two teams jockey for playoff position. But again, this year, especially in the National League, you've got some divisions that are pretty much all but academic.
Does that include the National League West as well? I mean, look, it's the Dodgers and everybody else after that.
Yeah, I mean, look, Jim, the Dodgers are loaded. You could argue that they're the most talented team in baseball right now. So, I just think the National League isn't going to be all that interesting. Now, when you get to the wild cards, I think you've got some teams in there. Look, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Colorado. I mean, maybe they'll put some pressure on the Dodgers, but when push comes to shove, I think in the National League you're really going to see a better feeder in terms of the wild card, and you consider Colorado and the Phillies and the Brewers that Trent mentioned. Those three teams, to me, are bona fide contenders for the playoffs. They're just a little bit short on talent when you look at who's atop each of those divisions.
So let's jump over to the American League. They're at home, the White Sox rebuilding, still a young team. Let's start in the Central. The Indians, clear-cut favorites once again. The Twins made a lot of moves, nothing high leverage, but a lot of those kind of mid-tier moves to improve upon a wild card team a year ago. What would have to happen in your mind for the Twins to catch the Indians this year?
I think the same thing as far as the Cubs are concerned, injuries to the starting staff. I think that the Twins certainly are on the rise. I'm really impressed with what they've been able to do and turn that organization around in really a very short amount of time. We expected them to be in rebuild mode. But again, you know, there's a disparity of talent in baseball right now. And I think you can argue that maybe the Central will be a little bit closer than some of these other divisions. But the reality is there's an embarrassment of riches, particularly with the big market teams right now. And I think as we go along division by division, no one's going to be surprised to hear who the favorites are, because, again, there's such a gap.
Will baseball ever be able to fix that, or is that a subject that is now so verboten that nobody would ever even broach to the owners?
Well, look, I think they're trying to, with limitations on spending, on foreign free agents. The luxury tax, I think, may help. I think also when you look at where baseball is trending and trying to compile a minor league system system first and foremost and promote guys and develop guys, the understanding that homegrown guys are cheaper and it's a solvent method in terms of winning. The Cubs did it. So, you know, everybody can go out and acquire minor league players. So I think that might be the equalizer. But ultimately, until baseball's able to institute a salary cap via the collective bargaining agreement, it's always going to be the bigger market teams that have a leg up, and that's just the nature of it.
And, I mean, there's sports where the divide continues on. I mean, you look at the NBA and the teams that are tanking right now. It happens across sport. And, you know, everybody points to the Yankees. The Yankees have the seventh biggest payroll in baseball. It's not like they're out there outspending everybody. I think that's just an easy narrative that just isn't there. I mean, we've seen the Royals win a recent World Series. It's not like it was seemingly at the turn of the century.
No, but I think, Trent, you know, maybe the casual baseball fan doesn't recognize this, but I know you guys know that you still have to spend money to acquire that young talent, The bigger market teams are going to be able to have more robust scouting departments. They're going to be able to open camps in the Dominican Republic and that are more attractive with better facilities to the young talent there. So I still think, even though there is this trend of really loading up on that minor league talent, that I do believe it can be an equalizer. So it costs money to go and find the best of the best and scout all these amateur players and college players. So, again, I think there's still going to be an imbalance, but, you know, you're right, to some degree, maybe that's lessening.
Seth, you got a podcast coming out on the Big Ten, Final Four with Michigan involved. Before we get into the Wolverines and also Loyola, tell us a little bit about what you have coming up on the podcast this week.
Yeah, thanks for asking, Trent. Matt Shepard, Wolverines play-by-play guy, is going to join me. We're going to break down that Michigan-Loyola game and look at Michigan's prospects of ultimately winning a national championship. Obviously, it's been a great year for them. And then look, you know, spring football is upon us. There's lots of storylines. I know, in Iowa particularly, with that linebacking core and who's going to emerge and grab some of those starting spots that are up for grabs. So it never seems to end. I think you saw Tuck Boylan went down with an Achilles injury. So there's no shortage of storylines to discuss, and we'll wrap on all of them this week.
Good stuff, Seth. We'll look forward to that. All right, then, to the games that will be played then. Where are you then on Michigan? And did I see something where the Big Ten has not won a NCAA title since Michigan State? Was that 2000? Do I have that correct?
Yeah, I think you saw that, but I think at least half your listeners will be unhappy to be reminded of that fact. I think it's what a lot of people harp on when they want to hate on Big Ten basketball. But certainly, Michigan has a chance now to erase that streak of futility. I think they got a tough matchup in Loyola, and I'm not just saying that. I'm not drunk on what everybody's drinking here in Chicago, but when you look at these two teams, they play very similarly, you know, both offensively and defensively. I think Loyola is a really, really tough cover, even for a Michigan team that was really, really good defensively. And then at the end of the game, you always worry about Michigan's ability to close it out just because they're such a poor free throw shooting team. So I expect this one to be close, but I think I'd be foolish not to pick Michigan.
So, Loyola, you're there in Chicago, Seth, and we get to see you on TV on NBC Sports Chicago, and we get to see you doing a bunch of things over there. It's a professional sports town. College can trickle in from time to time. Notre Dame, when they're good in football. Illinois, good in basketball. You know, we've obviously seen that in the past, but this Loyola story, what it was throughout the season when they're very good but seemingly under the radar compared to what it is now, the TV ratings have been through the roof. Take us inside Chicagoland.
Yeah, look, this is the topic du jour in Chicago. It's front page of every newspaper. It's what everyone's talking about. I think that Chicago in general, you know, people like to call it a pro sports town, but once upon a time, DePaul basketball was the toughest ticket to get in town, even more so than the Bulls. I think that if Chicago produces a winner, the state of Illinois produces a winner on the basketball court, Chicago's going to follow that story. And I think Loyola's done that for us. Now, to a lot of local fans who didn't follow Loyola before this season. The Ramblers came out of nowhere, but for those of us who were familiar with what Porter Moser was doing, you knew this Loyola team was going to compete in the MVC. Now, could anyone have predicted they would get to a Final Four? No. But I think when you've seen them on the court, you can understand why they've made it this far. This is a good basketball team. And I think they've gone under-publicized, and had they been covered more, maybe people would have been on the bandwagon earlier. But Porter Moser probably said it best. Chicago isn't a pro sports town. Chicago's a winning town. And Chicago's going to back a winner, and they're doing that in Loyola. And at the end of the day, if Loyola keeps winning, next year Chicago's going to FM2 and be on the bandwagon in 2018-19.
Interesting. Do you think Porter Moser gets a contract extension? Do they need to get something on the dotted line before he's whisked away someplace?
Well, look, I think he seems like the type of guy who listens to Loyola. Don't forget, Loyola invested a lot of money and time in Porter Moser. They were very, very patient, believed in what he was building. I gave him a new facility in the Gentile Center that got a makeover several years back. So I think he will listen. Ultimately, to keep him, I think that Loyola is going to need to be in seven figures. So you're looking at maybe $1 million raise to get him to 1.5 million because the offers he's going to get are going to be multi-million dollar contracts. And that's transformational wealth, and I don't think anybody could turn their back on the opportunity to position their family in that way. So I think it's possible that Porter Moser stays, but he could go the Greg Marshall route. He could do what Chaka Smart did and maybe wait for a better job to open or a more desirable job. So at the end of the day, I do think he'll be offered an extension, but whether or not he'll take it really is dependent on what else is out there. But I expect him to enjoy free agency for sure.
Seth, as always, thanks for your time today. Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We'll talk to you again soon. Enjoy the Final Four this weekend. Opening day of baseball tomorrow. A lot going on. A great time of year. Thanks for joining us today.
All right, thanks, guys.
That's Seth Gruen. Find him on Twitter at Seth Gruen. And you can find him all over the place talking sports with you. All right, Jimmy B, we got one segment to go. Coming up on the other side, it's time for our baseball predictions. Are you ready?
I am so ready for this. I have worked diligently for the last 3 minutes, and I have put together the teams that I believe will win the respective divisions, and I even have maybe a little bit of a surprise for a wild card, Trent.
Oh, all right, a surprise. Yeah, the divisions are pretty easy this year.
Yes.
We'll throw a few wrinkles. We'll do that coming up next year. As we take you up until 6 o'clock tonight, it's Jimmy B and TC. And we are back, taking you up until 6 o'clock, our final segment of the day. Jimmy B and TC with you, 1700 KBGG. Time right now to make our baseball predictions presented by Advantage Financial and Tax Services. Mike Hammond can help you out with your taxes. Getting down to the wire, time to make that appointment. AdvantageIowa.com for all the details for Advantage Financial and Tax Services. All right, Jimmy B, let's get into it here. Divisions, I mean, overall, it's pretty easy. Outside of the American League East, where it seems like you can pick two teams, there isn't a whole lot out there. The difference in baseball this year between the haves and the haves-nots, it's not like there's two or three teams. There are six, seven, eight teams you can argue in that top tier. But the gap between them, then that middle tier that are fighting to get in the playoffs, and then everybody else, boy, it's as wide as I can remember.
It's bad from that standpoint. Look, I'm not a big fan of how baseball lets the haves just sort of dominate. I wish they would institute some sort of salary cap similar to what the NBA and the NFL do. I just think it would make baseball and give lower-tier teams a much more fair opportunity to compete. But, you know, it's just you have to live with what it is, and so your smaller market teams gets hot every 5 to 10 years, and that'll last 2 to 3 years. We saw that with the Kansas City Royals, Trent. All of a sudden, the young guys all clicked, and you add a veteran here and there, and you get to the World Series, you win a World Series, you challenge for the World Series again, and then it's back to mediocrity for a while. So I'm just not a big fan of it's the haves and the have-nots, and you are right. There is a wide margin for this season, no question.
Oh, it's better than your beloved NBA. I mean, you talk about a wide gap between the haves and the have-nots. It's even worse than that league, and you're right. If you build the right way, you can be a team that can jump up. Cleveland's not a major market team, yet look at what they have built, and close to World Series 2 years ago, 100-plus games a year ago. So you just have to do it a different way. It's not the socialist construction that you have in the NFL where everybody is basically even. It's different, but if you build the right way, you can build a winner, and we've seen that a multitude of times. All right, division winners, Jimmy B. Let's start in the American League. Let's start out east. Yankees, Red Sox, certainly the front runners there. Who do you have?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take the New Yorkers this time around. I just think that they're loaded. I think that they feel that they are loaded, and I think that they will indeed hold off Boston for the top spot in the East.
I like that pick. I agree with much of what you said, yet I just have the sneaking suspicion, as everybody has jumped on the Yankees bandwagon, I still worry a little bit about that starting pitching depth. The bullpen is lights out, maybe the greatest constructed bullpen we've ever seen, but I have concerns about the staff. I'm going with Boston. David Price in a bounce back year. Bring in J.D. Martinez. The Red Sox get it done, but obviously I still have the Yankees in the playoffs as a wild card team. You going Cleveland in the Central? That's where I'm going. It's pretty easy.
Yes, I am going to Cleveland Indians. Yep, you're right about that. Let's go then to the West. Where are you in the West? Is it the defending champions for you?
You can't make a compelling case, I don't think, for anybody to win that division. Though my second wild card does come out of that division.
Does mine.
The Angels. So
yes.
All right. So you got the Angels. Do you have Boston as your other team coming out of the with the wild card?
I'm going back and forth. Okay. I have the Twins or the Red Sox.
Okay.
And I really think Minnesota is going to be in it again this year. But for some reason, and as much as I would like that to happen, Trent, I think I'll have to go Red Sox, and I just don't think they're going to have enough at the end.
So not a lot of disagreement there. I have the Yankees as a wild card. You have Boston as a wild card, and vice versa, winning the division. Let's go out to the National League, and I'm going to guess it's going to be very similar. Nationals to win the East, Cubs to win the Central, and the Dodgers out West. You got anything different?
Nope, that's exactly what I have selected as well.
Man, this is boring. This is the gap this year in baseball makes this incredibly boring. Well, we could get a little bit wild here. What do you got for your two wild cards?
I'm going with the Milwaukee Brewers, and I'm going to take the Colorado Rockies.
Okay.
I think Colorado last year, remember they lost that playoff game to the D-backs. The D-backs lost a lot of players, including J.D. Martinez, who ended up with the Red Sox and a fat contract. The Rockies have pretty much everybody back, so I'm going to take Colorado to sneak in as one of the wild cards with Milwaukee.
See, you're a year behind, Jimmy B. Remember, I was the one that had that a year ago, and I got that one right. Now you're trying to ride my coattails, and not going to work out quite as well. All right, I do have two different wild cards. I think the Brewers are taking a step back this year, and last year, it was a surprise, off to the good start, led the division into the middle of the summer before the Cubs finally caught fire. But I see a little bit of regression after Chase Anderson, that starting rotation. It's just a bunch of okay guys. There's nothing that they need another arm. They need another arm out there. I like their bullpen. I like the young talent. The lineup should be good. But a lot of times you'll see that team take a big step forward, a mini step back before catapulting forward. I think that's going to happen out of the Brewers. My wild card teams, I got the St. Louis Cardinals getting into the playoffs as a wild card team. Might be 86, 87 wins, all it's going to take to get in. And my second one is where I go off the board, Jimmy B, the Philadelphia Phillies. Maybe.
Ooh.
Yes, I've been on this team. I got them early in the spring when the initial over-unders were out. I got that number at a very good price, an over at 74.5. I'm very pleased about that. So I jumped on that, and I'm just going to go all in. Phillies get into the playoffs this year. There's my surprise pick for the year.
Boy, that kind of caught me off guard. But hey, listen, we saw what they did last season, particularly in the second half, and I can see where you're coming from. They could be the real surprise team this year in the National League. But I just think Colorado, with the players that they have, the lineup that they have, they can win games 12-10 in that ballpark. And I'm not so sure I'm buying Milwaukee taking a step back. I just have a feeling that, you know, they're feeling pretty good about themselves and what they accomplished last year leading that division before they faltered. So that's why I have Milwaukee and Colorado.
All right, Jimmy B. Jimmy B., who do you have in the World Series? Who do you got winning it?
I am going to take the Los Angeles Dodgers to be back again.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe this time they will be matched up against the New York Yankees.
Mm. Two big markets to, you would guess, pretty good ratings for that one. Who ultimately walks away with the title?
I'm going to take the Yankees. I really do. I think the Dodgers get beat again. I think the Yankees starting lineup, the power is unbelievable. And as I mentioned before, they can win games 9-8. And because they can indeed score so many runs. So I'm going to take New York to be the eventual winner of the World Series.
All right. Well, I do have two different picks from you in that one. A year ago, it was obviously Dodgers Astros. Before that, it was Cubs Cleveland. And we get a rematch of the Central teams. I'm going to take the Cubs and the Indians in the World Series. And for the second time in 3 years, the Chicago Cubs are World Series champions.
Ooh,
the
boy.
Depth of this team, I think Yu Darvish is going to have a great year. I love the lineup. And now, a year removed, you know, the excitement that was there. There was that lull all throughout the beginning of the season. Just never could get over that World Series hangover. Seemingly took till about, you know, July before they really got going. That's not going to be the case. A locked-in team, they're going to be raring to go, and they win it again. The Cubs over the Indians, my pick. And a couple of bonus picks here for you, Jimmy B. Found a couple of prop bets that I like for the season for my fellow degenerates out there. First of all, your boy Ohtani with the Angels. Regular season wins as a pitcher. Over under a 10.5. This is a lock of a century. Take the under. Ohtani, he might start. He's starting on Sunday. He might see some time in AAA this year. Under 10.5 wins for Shohei Ohtani. Also, Charlie Blackmon for the Rockies. An incredible hitter. All you're rooting for here is him to stay healthy. The over-under number of hits this year is 175.5. He had over 200 last year. This one flies over the total. Another hits total, Mike Trout, 166.5. He was injured last year. Won't be the case this year. Take the over in that one. Under in home runs for Manny Machado. Under in home runs for Nelson Cruz. Some prop bets to get you through, and we will look at these again in September at the end of the season. With that,
and we'll see how we did.
We are out of time, Jimmy B. We'll do it tomorrow.
Absolutely, pal. Join us, everybody, bright and early, 4 o'clock in the afternoon on the Big Talker 1700.